I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, a podcast story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 742. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, this episode of DTR, we have Mr. Pete. Pete, what's up, man? Co-host of the show.
You said it as if, like, just this show. That's it. I'm never going to be on the show again. It's just the show.
just this episode. Just this episode, right?
How you doing, man?
Good. I've just been busy, man. I have a couple of things to tell you. Yeah. Been busy today. Been really busy. Actually, I was very curious. I was like, you know what? We've been getting a lot of great feedback about the documentary. I decided to submit it to a couple of film festivals. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's going to get approved or not, but I did it, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
It's up to them now. We'll see. I think this is going to be a nice little challenge. If they accepted it, then I pass the challenge. And the real challenge is the audience that are going to watch it if the movie gets selected. So we'll see. So wish us luck on that.
Yeah, best of luck. Best of luck. Is there anywhere that people can go? Maybe petition, send them a message that, hey.
Yeah. I'll definitely mention this one particular that I'm very excited. I hope it goes through. So if it does, I'll mention it on the podcast for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one. Another thing too, I got invited to a panel.
Oh.
To be part of a panel. Can't say what it is just yet because they're going to announce it next week, but it's a pretty cool event down here in Miami. It's a very big event.
Hmm.
And they also do it in another city too. So can't wait to announce that. You know, that happened because of the movie, actually.
Right.
So it's going around. The movie's going around. So that's good. That's good. Twitch and YouTube. So how was your day, Pete? Besides work.
I spent a fantastic day curating spreadsheets, attending conference calls. was playing around on Voice Meter Banana. Shout out to a couple of our community members, Espinosa and N2 Cranes. They were my guinea pigs on Discord. I'm trying to get it so that I can get some audio fine tuning for the show. I'm having some issues with the install from Voice Meter Banana, so I got to do some, I'll have to revisit that again, but thanks. Thanks guys for showing up to the technical test and helping me play around and get acclimated to a few features. Appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to be recording there a couple episodes there. I'll probably record for GTR. I'm also going to be hanging out with the Adult Swim Games crew over there, and hopefully we'll record some stuff for the podcast. And the reason why I'm going to Atlanta is because of Call of Duty World League. Once again, I'm going over there and going to be hanging out with all the esports players and also the journalists that cover esports. So
okay,
stay tuned. I'm planning to post some content here on the podcast. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Every time I go to that event, I always have fun. So
that's good though. That's good. That's always good to hear. You know that you're, and that's the most important part, right? Is having fun. Because if you're not having fun, then what the hell are we doing this for? Yeah.
And I've never been to Atlanta, so that's going to be interesting.
Really?
I mean, I've been to Georgia, but not Atlanta.
Okay. There's a couple of places in my personal opinion I think you should check out. My parents' basement. That's actually what it's called. My parents' basement.
I was like, really, Pete? Your parents' basement? Okay.
No, my parents' basement. Yeah. It's in downtown. It's a comic book/arcade with craft beer and food. So like you can go comic books and you could play like pinball games and arcade games. And then they've got, you know, craft beer. We all like, you know, who doesn't like beer, right? It's kind of like toast. They don't like toast. let's see. Go to the Five Points. That's kind of like the urban music center. There's like Voodoo. There's actually a record store. I'll find the name of it. Then I'll send you the name. That's where I got a whole bunch of import, like from Japan, like J Dilla CDs that were never released here in the States.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'll probably check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna be staying around the downtown area. So yeah.
Okay. And then, I'd say go to Revolution Donuts, because I mean,
Revolution Donuts.
Yes.
That sounds very good.
It's official. It's official. And then
donuts it is.
And then Lotta Fruta, if you want to get your fruit down, if you want to get your fruit cup on, because that's amazing. Honestly, take a tour of the Martin Luther King area, like, because like, it's right by the Fifth Ward. It's the house that he actually grew up in, and it's like a national monument. They have to keep it up and maintain it so that it's exactly the way it was back in the day when he was alive. And it's the house he was born and raised in. It's like a whole block of houses, and it's really, really cool. Really gets you in the feels, like understanding where he came from and how he grew up.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see how much time I have, and I'm definitely going to be checking a couple places over there. So yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. All right, so head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Also, you can find us different podcast directories, of course. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and just share the content, share the podcast, spread the word if you can. Post a review. It will help us out big time.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple topics. Pete, we got to start with this because, you know, we couldn't talk about this new feature, this new mode that it's going to be also available in Far Cry 5. Far Cry Arcade.
Yes.
We got to play that for, I think, an hour or so. I can't remember exactly how long we played it. But we should talk more about that because we tried a couple things. But you want to go for first about it?
And it's – so Far Cry Arcade, it's funny because I was watching your stream, I think it was last week, where you were doing the co-op campaign where it was you and I.
Yes.
And somebody noticed in one of the scenes that there's an arcade box, right? And they're like, oh, can you jump on and play it? Obviously, we had to stay quiet. We couldn't talk about that.
Yeah, we were super quiet.
I noticed. I heard it. I was just like, eh. Or I saw it. I was like, oh, you were not going to talk about that right now. But yeah, that is a feature that's going to be in the upcoming game from Ubisoft, Far Cry 5. It's called the Far Cry Arcade. They're scattered throughout the game. You could be in the middle of a mission, stopping in to get intel or talk to somebody from one of the community members of Hope County, and next thing you know, you can see a box, you can see an arcade. It's legitimately, it looks like an old school arcade machine, and you can jump in, you can play arcade games. I believe the season pass unlocks a couple of titles already. One of them is a zombie game. I think it's called Dead Living Zombie. There's Hours of Darkness and Lost on Mars. Lost on Mars is one of the ones that they announced a couple of months ago. But it's not just that. You can also play Far Cry 3, the Classic Edition. So you'll be able to you'll be able to play Far Cry 3 inside Far Cry 5. It's kind of like a meta. In the arcade, one of the coolest things is, because this is a feature that everybody remembers from Halo, right? Everybody loved Forge. Well, Ubisoft is now going to allow you to build your own levels. And it's not just Far Cry 5 content. It's Far Cry 3, Far Cry 4, Far Cry Primal, Watch Dogs, and Assassin's Creed. So you can take components of all of those games and shove them into a custom map for you to play, share, and hang out and just do a crazy variety of things. You want to build a city underwater, you can build a city underwater with just like the rooftops, and like you could just like, you know, just play your game and do whatever. It's really, really cool what they've done. And now they're talking about they're going to announce every time that there's DLC announced for Far Cry 5, they're going to drop additional assets from other areas of other, you know, of their side. Who knows? We could start seeing stuff from The Division, right? In this game, in the arcade for the customizable maps and stuff like that. So I think it's really, really cool. It's going to be a lot of collaboration between the studio developers, the online community who are able to contribute to this this repository of assets and customized maps, and then just let them loose on the community, let everybody have fun, which is at the end of the day, which is what we're all doing this for, right?
Definitely. And yeah, they have, you know, single player and multiplayer too. We've tried both.
Yep.
And it was cool. The thing was, to us, we wanted to see more, but they only had that available. People also going to be creating their own stuff. Like me personally, I prefer to play what you guys create instead of me trying to create something. I personally think it will be kind of weak. I'd rather play what you guys make, you know? So are you that type of person, Pete, that do you see yourself creating stuff, or you rather play what other people make?
I would love to, but I don't know if I have... Like, I know I've got that creative gene in me, but I don't know. Like, I've seen some of the maps that people build, whether it be for, you know, like some of the stuff we saw in the assets for Far Cry 5. I've seen the stuff that people have done for like Forge. I don't know if I'm that detailed to start going in and I would definitely love to play around and do something silly like that. But I would, and like you said, I would love to be able to join you and play. And play some of these community, you know, generated maps, whether it's you that created them or some of the people from our awesome Discord community. I think that'd be really dope.
Yeah. When the game comes out, I would love to see some content from our listeners, from the GTR community, because I would love to check that out. We could play it online, multiplayer, single player. Let us know if you guys are planning to do that, man, because we'll give you a shout. If you manage to create something cool, GTR related, right? Enhance and all that stuff, or what if?
What if enhanced?
Enhanced, created, and maybe let me dream too. You never know.
Oh,
created and let us know, and we'll give you a shout on the podcast, so other people could also download it, review it. So let us know in the Discord community. Go to discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. All right, so the next topic, Pete, I know we mentioned this a couple of times, man, about Fortnite, and I remember we were having this debate a while ago about Fortnite, and at that time, PUBG was doing really, really good when it comes to Twitch and everything. It was number one for months, but like I mentioned the previous episodes of GTR, that, you know, it was a mistake for Bluehole for them to... talked about Fortnite copying their game. It basically was more free promotion from them, right? So now it was announced that Fortnite is actually surpasses PUBG as a Twitch most watched and streamed. Your thoughts about that, man?
Well, we've talked about this a couple of times here on the show so far. There's been a shift in the Battle Royale community, right? I mean, we can see it right now. If you jump on Twitch, I think I checked this just before we went live. And then the number was like 3-1. And that's with the big name streamers. They've all started to do a minor shift over from PUBG over to Fortnite. And it's a stark difference. Like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, maybe it's just nighttime. No, now it's basically 24/7. There's more people on Fortnite. And I think it's the accessibility of being a free game. Constantly evolving features, right? I know a couple of months ago they were doing 50 on 50 battles. They're about to do 20 on 20 tomorrow, I believe, is when that unlocks.
Yeah, I believe, let's see, is it, 20 player teams. But I believe it's 5 person per team or something like that. So it's 5 teams of 20 players.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool, I think, man. And also they're adding a new location to this part in the map and stuff. I think in the southern coast.
You know, honestly, that's the only thing that's been missing, because it's a single map. It's maybe a quarter the size of like Erangel or Miramar, the two maps on PUBG. And I think it's something that's been missing. That's probably one of the few features now that have been missing from Fortnite is, you know, that content getting stale because it's the same map, same map, same map. The only thing that constantly changes is the building meta within the game, which allows you to start building ramps and walls and roofs to protect yourself or to evade, you know, getting shot at. So, you know, again, we've given the shout out to Epic, you know, several times.
And they were on the show too. They talked for an interview. We talked about
They never mentioned anything about that though. That was like, in the hole. They didn't want to talk about that. They just dropped that. And I got to give them credit. You know, they've stuck with it. They didn't back down when they got accused of whatever from Blue Hole or PUBG Corp. They stood their ground and they said, you know, we can hang with the big boys. Epic's not a small studio, so don't get them twisted, right? They can deliver. And, you know, shout out to them. I don't play it. It's not for me, but you know, there's at any given time there, you know, I was looking at it earlier. I want to say there was like 250,000 this afternoon. There's 250,000 viewers on Twitch watching a Fortnite stream. That's a pretty significant number.
That's a lot. That's a lot. But you know what helped them too is getting that media buzz, man. Good Morning America and a lot of other media outlets, mainstream media outlets talking about it, which is good. It's good. Plus the game is free. That, man, that's killing PUBG, man. That's killing it. And plus it's available in every console except the Switch.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio.
Wanted to take a quick minute and talk about our sponsor, HelloFresh. Shout out to them for supporting the podcast. HelloFresh is a meal delivery service that takes the mundane steps out of the cooking process. It's easier on the schedule. All you have to do is pick your meals a week in advance and let HelloFresh do the shopping for you. You can select the delivery day that works best for you and your family schedule, and every meal comes pre-measured and packaged so you know exactly what you need when you cook. On top of that, there's no more wasted time or money at the grocery store. You get everything you need for the meal and nothing extra. Like, honestly, I can count on my hands and toes and on like the kids' fingers and toes the number of times I've gone to the store to get things that I either end up never using, as my wife likes to call it, the bin of good intentions, which is where we keep all the vegetables and fruits, or like when I make pasta and stuff like that, and I want to use fresh parsley. I use a little bit of it, and then I get a big bush of parsley rotting in the bottom of the fridge because I never use it again. And it's hella easy. Each meal takes about 30 minutes to prepare, and there's lots of one-pot recipes that are included in your boxes or in your selection that make making dinner a snap. And there's minimal cleanup because nobody likes to clean dishes, right? Let's be real. And my favorite, we get to try new things all the time. Like, and I've talked about this in previous reads, bulgur wheat. That doesn't sound appetizing. That's the last thing that I want to, from the sound of it, it's the last thing I would like to eat. But when we tried it through HelloFresh, it was like amazingly good. And now I look forward to it every time I see it on the recipe or in the schedule. So it's really, really dope. So do us a favor, support the show and start eating healthier with HelloFresh. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code GAMERTAG30. That's HelloFresh.com and use the promo code GAMERTAG30.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Pete, let's talk about this, Pete. This is something that I think is going to be very interesting if this is all true. Details about Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And supposedly, the game is going to take place in the future. And you're a fan of Treyarch. Treyarch been, personally, I think the Black Ops series, I think personally, was It's better than the other suits,
so,
in my opinion.
I am a fan of Treyarch. I am a fan of the work that they've done with regards to...
I'm listening.
In general, to the Call of Duty titles that they've worked on. My concern is, because they say in return to near future, that's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, because I don't know if Infinite Warfare was the right direction, right? There's already way too many games that kind of lift from that same vein of gaming. And they got a lot of flack from a lot of gamers for going jetpacky and whatnot. Granted, the support for it looks similar to like the Titanfalls and whatnot, but I don't know if me as a Call of Duty fan or anybody or those that watch, and we've seen the responses of the people that at like the Call of Duty, you know, world championships and stuff like that.
Oh, it gets packed.
It gets packed. It gets crazy.
And not only that, but remember the people also that watch on Twitch and Mixer and other places.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a lot.
But at the same time, if they already got a negative backlash from the community for doing a future set, you know, for Call of Duty, why would they go back into that? You know what I mean?
I personally think that every time they release a Call of Duty game, it should be every year should be a different type of game. Have one in the past, have one in the future, maybe something present. Just change it up. That's what I think. So at least it's something different every year, instead of every game is always a futuristic game. Change it up.
How do they change it up though? Like, what can they
remember,
do?
They have three developers or four that work on Call of Duty?
Ooh.
It's three, right?
Ooh.
Is it three? Or is it four?
Four teams, I want to say. It's Sledgehammer, Treyarch,
so it's four, okay.
Infinity
okay.
Ward.
So
and I want to say there's one more, but I can't remember. I might be wrong. At least three.
Look at this one that came out back in November. That sets back in the past, which is great. Change it up, right? Then this one, future. Then the next one next year. Have it maybe something present or not too futuristic. Just change it up every year. There's four. Have it four different type of Call of Duty games.
I don't know.
Personally, I don't know. Look, the game is gonna sell no matter what. It's Call of Duty, you know. So.
Oh, I know. We know that
they're gonna do what the hell they want.
They're gonna
print
money regardless. But
yeah,
I don't know. Me personally, yeah. I don't know if I'd much rather have them stick to, like, because when they had Call of Duty 3 and they did that Vietnam War to like the 70s and 80s era, I thought that was fantastic. But for some reason, they jumped. And actually, if you think about it in the timeline, they went from World War II to the present, back to the Vietnam War, and then they jumped to the future. So it's not like they're following any specific timeline. So, I mean, in that respect, it makes sense, right? But
yeah.
I would like to see them do some kind of a linear progression to go. And I mean, as much as I'm sick and tired of World War II, because we see that with the Battlefields, they went back to their core, they're back to their roots with World War II. But I don't know if people want to continue to see that. And I understand that there's some gamers that may not have experienced those back in the day, so they want to kind of bring it back and make it fresh for the younger generation of gamers that are coming out. But there were other eras that are just as popular that can be done just as well. And I don't know why they always have to go. It's almost like a knee-jerk reaction of going, well, let's go World War II or let's go to the future. They almost don't want to stay in the current, or they don't want to do the Vietnam era.
All right. Well, we'll see. Look, I'm going to Call of Duty War League tomorrow. I'm flying out to Atlanta for that. And I'm telling you, the place gets packed. And this is a smaller venue compared to the championship. The championship, they get the whole arena, and that place gets packed. Plus, the stream. It's a lot of people watching live too. Mm-hmm. So, yo, they have a lot of fans, man. A lot of fans. So they're going to do whatever they want. Activision is going to do that. So, all right, Pete, let's go with this. Not this question. I'm thinking about family.
Are you interviewing me now for this?
Yeah. No, but this one is going to be good, man, because, I mean, it's been going around now for a while, but Diablo Switch port coming? It's happening, Pete.
Well, we heard about this about a week or two ago, maybe.
But that was more of a rumor, and it wasn't. That's why I didn't really talk about it on the podcast. I'm like, I need more evidence. But Eurogamer posted that they got a close source saying that, yeah, it's going to happen. They're working
on it.
Now, by the time this podcast comes out, it comes out on Friday. You know, for those who are watching the Twitch stream. But, you know, tomorrow Nintendo's going to have a Nintendo Direct. So, never know. We might see an announcement there. Because they're also going to have Nintendo Switch games and 3DS games, like mm-hmm. new games that they're going to show. So it's possible.
Well, see, that's the part that I'm looking forward to the most, me personally, is the new games, is the new batch of Nintendo IPs and games to play on the Switch. Seeing, like, I've already dusted enough money and time into Diablo 3, and I don't know if that's something that I want to do again.
But for someone that just got the Switch, they're a fan
someone
of Diablo
that has,
or
fan of or have never touched a Diablo.
Let's go with the majority of people.
It shouldn't make a difference. I don't think it'll make a difference because Diablo 3 is a great game in and of itself. And because of that, it shouldn't make a difference. They should be able to just say, here you go. You can just jump into Diablo 3 with no history and backstory of the first games, the first two.
And you'll be good. You'll be fine.
Because that was me. That was me.
And you were hooked. You were playing that game nonstop.
Stuck.
Was it for Xbox, right?
Was it
for
Xbox 360? Xbox 360. I believe it was Xbox 360.
No, it was Xbox One. What are you talking about?
Xbox One?
Yeah, Xbox One.
Okay. But yeah, I was stuck on it, dude. I don't know. it's a good enough game that it'll stand on its own regardless. And I don't think it makes it. I'm glad that they're going to be able to bring that out to the masses in order to allow the newer generation of players who maybe hadn't had a chance. Cause it's a great game that you could take on the road. That is a game though, that I would like to see have some form of multiplayer involvement. So be curious to see how that works. If they're going to support multiplayer, because again,
no voice chat unless you go to Discord.
And again, that's the one fallacy of the Switch, right? Is its ability to utilize multiplayer. So
there's a rumor, Pete, and I know you mentioned this I think it was on Discord, that you're kind of iffy about this rumor. Grand Theft Auto 6?
Yeah, it's not happening. And if it does...
Set in Vice City. That's the rumor. Set in Vice City.
And if it does happen...
Yes.
It's not going to be until 2021, 2020, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've had...
It's going to be... Yeah, right now, it's all about Red Dead.
It's all about Red Dead Redemption. And honestly, GTA Online. They're making money hand over fist. They had their biggest month in December in sales in a long time.
Yeah.
Why even bother doing...
No, I agree.
Why go back... Why if it ain't broke... Don't fix it is the perfect example of what they're doing there. So I think I'm being corrected here. 2022 was the year that they had said, and we always know that they're going to delay it by 1 or 2 years after what their announced date is anyways. So I'm good with 2022, 2023, because that gives plenty of time for them to develop for Red Dead Redemption 2. Give me downloadable content, give me online content, continue to support GTA Online while you're all there working in the background. Give me 4, 5, 6 years of solid development time and then come in, drop it, pat me on the ass, as Paris like to say, and shoo me out the store. And then, you know, I'm stuck on another game for another two or three years.
Now, for those that are wondering how this woman went around, it was supposedly a YouTuber that posted this, saying that got an inside source that requested to remain anonymous, and that claims that Grand Theft Auto 6 is being worked on. As internally, it's called as Project Americas within Rockstar Games, and will use a Miami setting. 305 in the house, Pete. 305.
I kind of wish I had like one of those little pito horns from Drink Champs.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, something. So yes, it's gonna take place supposedly South Florida, man. So again, it's not 100%. This is just a rumor. It's what if? What if, Pete?
What if?
What if? What if? But they're also saying that this game could feature a female character as the main lead.
That's
which
huge.
Is the first time in the series history if that happens.
That's
which
huge.
I think personally that's huge, and that will be dope. Dope.
Now, I wish Paris was here for this. And I wish Paris was here for this. But why is it okay for them to announce that now? And I get it. It's a leak. It's not formal announcement. But why is it okay now for something that we may not see until 2021, 2022 or beyond? Why does Rockstar get the pass? I mean, granted, they're allowed to because I don't think they failed yet on a release. But why did they get the pass?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I don't want to start a debate here.
What if?
You know, it's funny. You know, it's funny that I was talking with Paris, and yo, he's always bringing it up that he's always listening to that episode. And it's people look. We have a lot of voicemails that we haven't played on the show just yet because I'm saving it for the right time because I want us three to be in it. Because you know, I'm going to Atlanta. The guys is going to record on Sunday. They're probably going to do their own thing. I prefer to record that episode with fan mail with all of us together because there's one voicemail that's actually funny of a listener that was trying to call me out. But I'm telling you, like I said, Pete, it doesn't matter which company it is. It's not only Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox has done it in the past.
They've all done it.
They all done it. But record-wise, Sony, and it's a fact. I don't know why people get mad every time I mention that. They get mad and they will call, send an email, call me out on Twitter, social media. But, you know, they're to be the first ones to talk about all this stuff about Xbox. Mm-hmm. But when somebody says something about Sony, yo, it's like when you say something about Nintendo, the Mario Mafia will come after you. If you say something about Xbox, the Emeralds will go after you. And what's Sony?
Sony Defense Force. The SDF.
Sony Defense Force. They'll come and attack you, man. It's like, whoa, relax. It's okay. It's not the end of the world, guys. It's not the end of the world. But anyway, it's not. But on the real, that is not even an announcement. This is just a rumor. So it hasn't been announced. So why you brought that up, Pete?
I don't know. I just wanted to start the argument again.
It was an announcement. It was
I know. It's a leak. It's not even official. It doesn't count.
It's
a developer leak.
Plus, it wasn't announced on stage at E3.
See, that's the annoying part is that there's so many qualifiers for the argument that it kind of takes the fun out of the argument away.
Like who?
No, I'm just saying.
Hey, cool.
Like it has to be okay, on. Right. It has to be at a press conference. It has to be a publisher, not a developer. Like, why should there be qualifiers for the argument? Why can't it be just in general? Why can't it just be? Why do you have to announce it?
Because the email from a listener that sent us that email, his question was about E3 and Sony showing the same trailers for the past couple years and so on, that it's time for them to release it that year or something. I think it was something like that. That's how that conversation came up, was because of that email. I'm talking about on stage at E3 for the past 5-6 years. That's what I've been talking about. But then people will flip it because, you know, it's not Xbox, it's Sony, so they will bring Xbox right away and will say, well, you know, And Xbox doesn't have games.
And I get that. But
and it's like, wait a minute. I'm not talking about who has games or not. I'm talking about games that or stuff that has been announced and it's not, you know, it's not, has it been out yet? You know, now if a game is delayed, that's different. But I'm talking about when a game is announced at E3 and then the next year, you don't hear anything about it. Then the year after that, zero. And the year after that, again, zero. And it's like, okay, what was the point of you announcing a game 4 years ago? If the game hasn't been delayed, it's been quiet. You know, that's the conversation. I'm not dissing everybody.
We're not saying that you're dissing anybody. And I think we're getting away from the gist of the question that I posed. There shouldn't be qualifiers to things like that. They should only announce it when they're within that one calendar year of release. Right.
Yeah, I think
just
yeah,
hold on, and should it be, shouldn't be should a qualifier. Be oh, it has to be an E3 announcement. It has to be a publisher. No. None of those should be part of the qualification question, right? It should just be, just don't announce until you got a year to launch, till gold. 1 year to gold,
man.
1 year to gold, and then announce and push for money, and then you know do your marketing hype push. That's it.
I think Bethesda are the ones that have been doing it so far for now. The way how they've been announcing games, I think, is perfect. That's what I'm talking about, man. Any company, they show a game that's only been done for like maybe 30, 40, let's say 50% done. And and then you don't hear anything about that game ever. I think it's unfair, man. That's all. It's not Sony. It's not Xbox. It's just every freaking company that does that E3. Look, companies will do that is because of the investors, hype the consumers, so the consumers could go and pre-order the game or pre-order that console. That's the whole point of that. It's not who has the most exclusives because, yes, let's be real. Sony has a lot of first-party exclusives now, but there was a time they were dry for a couple years. As now Xbox is dry now. They had a lot of exclusives, but some of them were, it was all right. You know what I'm saying? I think the only thing that I can remember from Nintendo was maybe this Zelda, but the reason why it got delayed is because they wanted to have that game available for the Nintendo Switch also, you know, which I can understand. That's different, but at least there was communication between the company and the consumers. I think that's super important. When there's no communication between the two, that's when it gets a little bit shady. It gets like, whoa, what was that about? You know? So that was the whole point of that.
I guess. I think we've beaten this one sufficiently underground. This horse is officially underground.
I don't want to hear anymore. So don't bring it up, Pete. And Paris, I know you're not here. I know you're not here right now, but he's probably going to bring it up again and again and again.
He'll probably want to get pulled into an after show.
Nah, I have to go.
At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring 2, 3, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're live here at the Adult Swim Games. Wow, this is my first time in Atlanta, but I have a special guest. We go way back. But I want him to introduce himself, and we'll go from there, man.
Hey guys, this is Sean Baptiste from Adult Swim Games. I'm the influencer manager over here, but I've been in games for a long time. I've been around the block.
Yeah, you've been involved in the gaming industry how many years now?
14 years. This is 14 years for me this year. So I started off, my first job was at Harmonix. I worked there for like a month and a half before I got laid off.
Hey, I've been through that many times.
Yeah, no kidding. So I got laid off just because it was the end of my contract. It was cool. It was start off in QA. And then I worked on some RTS games at Stainless Steel Studios, RIP. And immediately, as soon as they had a job opening back, I went back to Harmonix screaming, just pleading with them to take me back. So I worked there for a number of years, worked on my own show, did it after Harmonix. I worked on a show called When I Grow Up, which was a documentary series, and then made indie games for a while before coming down here to Adult Swim in Atlanta.
So what made you want to decide, like, you know what? Let me just join Adult Swim and let me move down to Atlanta. It's like a totally different lifestyle than Boston, you know? So why the change?
So there's a number of things. One thing was it doesn't really snow here, and that was real sweet. Like, I lived 36 years, basically, up in Boston before moving down here. So I wasn't used to I got to get out of here. I had 7 feet of snow in my backyard, and I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. This isn't happening. But the other thing is, why Adult Swim is, well, first of all, Atlanta's just this, Atlanta's an amazing city. It's a beautiful city, amazing people here, totally cool vibe. Really interesting things. There's everybody has like their job, and then everybody has their dream on the side that they're trying to make happen. And being around that sort of energy gives me energy, and it's awesome. And for Adult Swim, I've been watching Adult Swim since before it was Adult Swim. Like, I've been watching Cartoon Network like when I was in college, and we watched Space Ghost Coast to Coast at night. Like, that was a thing. I remember the first night that there were bumps, like the first night that they did the black with the white text on the front of it. I remember the first time all of that happened. And for me, that's just like, there's nothing more important. I love television. Like, I love the history of television. I'm all studied about it. Like, it's something I care very much about, like games. And I don't think anything has been more important in the time that I've been alive to television than Adult Swim. So for me, it was really like, it felt like a really good place to go.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that probably don't know much about the gaming division of Adult Swim. What you could tell us about that, like the history about it. And I know you guys focus a lot of indie games and stuff, right? Digital, right? Most of the time, digital games and stuff. But yeah, tell us a little bit about the history, because there's some cool gems that people don't know about from the company. So
yeah, so originally it started, you know, well before I got here. They start off with, on the website, there'd be the Flash games and just Adult Swim Flash games. And there were tons of them. So that started, like, Robot Unicorn Attack was a big one. 5 Minutes to Kill Yourself was a big one. There's like a series, like a whole bunch of them. And they were really incredible Flash games that you could go to and play. And those got a little bit of notoriety because they were so much fun and they were so good. And it kind of grew organically out of that to trying bigger things, moving some of those games over to mobile. A lot of people have played Robot Unicorn Attack, Amateur Surgeon, those games on mobile. Now Pocket Mortys is just a huge game. But additionally, moving over to then the next logical step was Steam. So yeah, like Duck Game, big Steam game. We put out lots of games on Steam. And then it was like, well, now let's go to consoles. And then VR, and, you know, like, we're a real publisher.
And that's... going to console, that's a totally different beast, man. That's a totally different crowd that don't play mobile games, don't play PC. Yeah, so tell me like some of the games that you've been working on since you started working here that you were like, man, I'm proud about this project, you know, once it got released like to consoles or PC or whatever.
Well, I think for me, like, you know, there's like a whole team of people here and everybody's really talented and amazing, and it's just a pleasure to work with them. And the developers that we work with are amazing. They're really, really good, really solid developers and good people and just people you want to root for. And like the games we publish are just awesome. And it was so cool. Like, you know, working from small developers who are like, you know, one person, like Duck Game, that's one guy. That's just one dude making it. Kingsway, one guy making that game. all the way up to we published a Double Fine game, Headlander, a couple years back. And, you know, getting to work with Double Fine is awesome because it's, you know, we're working with great people over there. And so some of these games have just been like, wow, I cannot believe we're getting a chance to do this. This is awesome. And then for me, part of it is like before I came here, I worked in indie games. I worked for a small indie game studio, Firehose Games. Hey, guys. In Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I know that struggle. I know what it's like. So getting a chance, however I can, to help those guys out and try to get their game out into the world, you know, in the small thing that I do on the team, which is, you know, helping with marketing and helping with getting influencers to play it, just, you know, you just don't ever want to let those guys down. You don't ever want to let those developers down, because I know that struggle. It's not easy, but you want to make it happen.
Actually, once you mentioned Space Ghost, it's crazy because that was my first time that I used online. It was through America Online, through a 56K modem. And that was the first, I don't know if it was like website or what, that was the first website I went to through AOL back in the days. So yeah, when you mentioned that, it brought back a lot of memories and stuff. So very cool. I know you said that you work a lot with like influencers, like... Why is super important to work with influencers?
Yeah, so this kind of goes back to I left Harmonix in 2010. That's pre Twitch, and I went to go work on my own show. After I had a number of I had about 12 brain surgeries in a period of about 6 months. And the recovery process was crazy. So me and my wife made this series with Trevor Chamberlain, who's this incredible director. And I really started just getting into the concept of video. And during that time when I was recovering, I was watching Justin TV and watching these YouTube Let's Plays. And I was just seeing how much it kind of changed the face of games. And a lot of developers didn't even realize it yet. And publishers weren't even real. A lot of publishers were against it. Like they were trying to like sending takedown notices to YouTube. And I'm like, no, guys, what are you doing? This is like a huge thing. So when I went to Firehose Games and I was helping with that stuff, I really, you know, accepted that Twitch and YouTube were these huge tools that indie game developers could use for free, basically. Trying to get – you're not like paying, you know, for these huge campaigns or anything like that. And it's a cool way to interact with your audience. And I feel like that's even evolved since then. So when I came here, that was another thing that I really wanted to do, was really lean into that heavy, because that's where the people who play games, the people who buy games, the people who really care about games, who are passionate about games, that's where they are. Man, they're on Twitch. They're on YouTube. They're watching those shows. They're on Discord channels talking about those shows and those games while they do it. And there's just so much about that. That's like, that's where the passionate community is. And you got to talk to those people. And for me, that's like, it's just something I care so much about. I love watching these, especially these, I mean, you know, too, like, this young talent who's just coming up, and they're like, I got a microphone and I got a camera and I got something I want to say to the world and I want to talk to people. And they just go and they just make it happen with like nothing. And they put on these shows that, you know, thousands of people are watching, and it's crazy. And it's, there's just something about that makes me so, passionate about what, for that whole crew. But it has changed the way games are played and made and everything.
I know you do a daily show on Twitch. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we do a show straight out of Adult Swim Games every day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, called The Afternoon Snack. In a lot of ways, it's a traditional game stream, but it gets a little bit weird. I host it with some of my coworkers, Hatch Adams, Adam Hatch, and Miriam. And then my co-host for the show is Robot Lady.
That's cool. Yeah. Why the afternoon snack?
It was sort of an in joke. I used to have a show with my old co-host Abigail Tyson, who's up at Bethesda now. I used to have a show with her on the AdultSwim.com streams here called Lunchtime Games. So when we decided, you know, that show wrapped up, and we decided we were going to be doing a daily stream straight out of the office, and that we were like, We'll make a joke about that, called The Afternoon Snack. Because we also were like hoping we could still get free food sometimes while we were doing it. Because, like, you know how we roll.
Perfect. Perfect. So what's next for you guys? What's next? I know GDC is coming up, E3. I don't know if it's too early to say anything, but what's next for you guys?
I am not sure. Like that's the nature of things is we'll see. I mean, we have some really exciting games coming up, and everybody should follow Adult Swim Games on Twitter. And you'll definitely find out about it. But yeah, it's we'll be a place. You'll see us. You'll see us.
I know there was a game that caught my attention that came out for Nintendo Switch. And one of your coworkers, shout out to Jackie, I know she was also promoting that. Tell us a little bit about that game too. Man. I can't remember the name of it. Top of the head.
Battle Chef Brigade. That came out last year from Trinket Studios, and we published it. Came out on Switch and Steam. And it's one of the most, to me, it's like one of the most special games we've ever got, I've ever had a credit in. Like, to see my name in that game gives me this enormous sense of pride. And again, all I did was like help get influencers for it, but just even to be associated with those guys, they're so talented. It's Battle Chef Brigade is you're in this world that's sort of a fantasy world where you like there's the battle chefs. It's a brigade of battle chefs, and what they do is they create food. They cook food. It's a cooking game, and the cooking mechanics are very match three. You're matching flavors together to make stronger flavors to make dishes, and you're trying to please judges who are basing on presentation and flavor and whether you got the ingredients that they asked for and that sort of thing. But to get those ingredients, that's not match three. You got to run out into the world and you got to go hunt. Like, you got to go hunt your food. You got to go get those ingredients and bring them home into the pantry, stock the pantry and everything. And I think one of the things that sets us apart is the characters are just really, really good and really well written. And there's this joy and happiness and optimism in the game, and there's not a lot of games like that where it's just like people like hug their parents and stuff, and everybody, like, even if you're in a contest against somebody, there's like an element of respect and love between everybody, and I think that's rare in games, and I think what they've created is very, very special.
Yeah, so check it out. It's available now for Steam and Nintendo Switch. But Sean, I just want to say thanks, man. It was a lot of fun being part of the show. We had a great conversation. We talked about a lot. Make sure to go to Twitch, twitch.tv/AdultSwimGames. Go there and check out the video. It's pretty cool. I had a blast, man. Anything you want to promote?
Yeah, follow us on Adult Swim Games on Facebook and Adult Swim Games on Twitter. And that's where you find us most. And that's probably the best way to get new information when we're ready to announce it. Yeah, cool.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
Back on the scene. This is Gamer Tag Radio.
Anything else?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I know you're going to do some, you've got some top secret stuff that you're going to put in for this show.
It's going to be fun. I think that the trip is going to be good. I'm going to meet up with a couple people over there. wish me luck. Hopefully the movie gets picked up. Couple film festivals, not 100%, but hey, at least I tried, right? But thank
best
you
of luck.
Thank you, Pete, and let's see what happens, man. Head over to gamertagradio.com just like that, and you could also yes, my
is that
thing
gonna
now.
Be your
my
thing now thing.
Okay, here, okay. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. And go to GamerTagRadio.com, of course, I mentioned that. Also, the free documentary, you want to check it out, go to story.GamerTagRadio.com. That's story.GamerTagRadio.com. And anything else, Pete? Is there anything I'm forgetting? Hope County Stories, Episode 2.
I was going to ask, because I know people have been asking.
Yes. It's going to be out. Just be on the lookout for the feed.
Actually, I do want to ask, since you're going to be out of town, I'm assuming then that Friday there's going to be no Café con Danny then, right?
Yeah, there's no Café con Danny. I have to be at the event. Yeah, and Sunday's you in Paris.
Okay. No problem. We got that covered.
Yeah, which I know Paris is probably going to call me out and all this stuff. You know, it's all good. It's all good, Paris. Make it happen. All right. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening to GTR episode 742. And we'll be back next time here on Gamertag Radio.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.